Boggle is a rather pleasing one. I like boggle.
Yes.
I mean, it's like Scrabble in as much as it's making words out of, you know, random letters.
But I would have had you down as a phrase person. You would, I bet you like limericks.
I do like limericks, yeah.
And Clary Hughes.
Clary Hughes, yeah.
Here's one of you. Hang on. Oh. Let's do one quickly. All right. Stephen Fry presides over QI. His IQ is high, too. So they're very easy. Oh,
they are. And what's pleasing about them is that they mustn't be metrical. So
yes.
When people first hear them, they think they're inelegant, but that's the point.
Yes. Whereas if a limerick's inelegant, that's irritating.
No, it has to be metrically on the
trundle,
money.
Doesn't
yeah.
It? Yeah. Yes, I think it's the high orders. I love rebuses. I love crossword clues.
Yeah.
And people often say to me, oh, do you have to have a different brain to do word for math puzzle? Yes,
well,
you do.
Well, that's I was going to come to that. Yeah, because you do
Sorry.
Both. No, it's good. Oh, yes. It's really good. You raised it. You started life, I think, as a physicist.
I started life doing Latin and Greek, and physics was my make-weight subject. I was worse at it, so I thought I'd better go and study it some more.
Well,
so I studied physics.
Gosh.
And then we did a lot of maths, and I thought, hey, this is also good. And I kept going sideways. Yeah. Of course, maths isn't what most people think it is. I mean, what most of us do at school is like the car park under Mount Everest. The really yeah. good stuff is up there, and people never get to see that.
No, no. But if they're like me, and I'm certainly not going to moan about having a maths, you know, blank or anything, but I can appreciate the beauty of it. And if I read a book, an intelligent book, you know, like Hardy's Apology or some marvellous book, while I'm reading it, I'm inspired by the beauty of numbers and their power and their flexibility and their poetry almost. But if I am asked to express something in the real world in numeric ways, my father's a physicist, you know, I'd ask him any question. The first thing to do is draw vectors and then
oh, yes.
put a sort of curve on it and say X minus one. And like, I don't know what that means. I don't even know what it approaches meaning. Why X? Why minus one? What's going on?
But and those are good questions. And your only problem is you haven't had them answered adequately.
No, no,
that's
true.
The problem.
And he got me through maths O-level by explaining to me the absolute beauty of the equal sign, which was something that had never been taught to me either. The real power of it as an object, as a balance, the fact that you could just chuck things around on either side
yes,
of it as long as you did
and
so.
And why you can, you see?
Yes.
I love it when there's a pupil who asks you that question because
yeah.
that's the really interesting bit.
But I had always kidded myself that my verbal facility, such as it is, was compensation for having a great black hole where my numerical gift should be. And you're a living example of someone who's perfectly at home with manipulating numbers and letters, and both semantically words, not just as sort of units of abstract entity, but real words. Of the two types of puzzle, the mathematical, the verbal, are they both, in a sense, a kind of code-breaking? Is that the skill that's being exercised?
There are lots of unexamined skills in the brain. People say to me, how do you go about, you know, writing puzzles? I don't know. I don't want to know, because I think if I tamper with that... This is the mistake we make in education. We micromanage. You've got to let the brain do its thing.
If you set puzzles a lot, obviously you are an enigmatist, and you also solve them because you enjoy doing that. Do you think that you have to be a very good solver to be a very good setter and vice versa?
No, you have to understand the solver.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm rather slow than everybody else gets the thing before me. It doesn't mean to say, I mean, I get more buzz out of it than they do, perhaps.
Yeah.
You have to understand where the solver is starting from and what his difficulties might be. And if you're a puzzlist, you put a few obstacles in the path.
Yes.
So I mean, I do visualise it like a sort of mountain path.
So there's some misdirection, which, as long as it's
yes.
honest, is acceptable.
Yes, honest misdirection,
as it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'd rather set than solve.
In that sense, the code is a very appropriate thing because you have the person who has written the thing in code and the person who has to decode. And it is, a code is a higher form, a more serious form of puzzle in exactly that way, isn't it? It's just that lives are at stake. And we're only just beginning to recognise the full part that Bletchley Park played in the shortening of the war for us, in the winning particularly of the war, the Battle of the Atlantic. And that was all came down to a mathematician, essentially. Well, not all, but a lot was
yes.
to do with Alan Turing, who was a pure mathematician and had posited a machine merely in order to solve earlier problems in mathematics. The idea that let's suppose there's a machine and this is a way of addressing this huge problem.
Yes, math sort of solves problems ahead of when they're needed, which
yes.
is rather fine. I mean, a puzzlist wants people to be able to solve it after they've suffered a little bit.
Yes.
Because, of course, with a code, you don't want them to crack it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get this sort of race between the setter and the solver and...
And in-